Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind.
Sidebar with Cindy
on Kaya FM 95.9.
Kaya FM 95.9, home of the Afropolitan. Sidebar Cindy with me, Dr. Cindy Sue van Sail. We're back for another week of interesting topics. And this evening, I'm asking you, what is your reason for cohabitation?
Medical issues, sex and family,
finance, parenting and emotional development.
Sidebar with Cindy. Every Monday to Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
Kaya FM 95.9, home of the Afropolitan. Welcome to Sidebar Cindy. With me, I'm Dr. Cindy Siwe van Sail. And tonight, we are speaking about cohabitation. What is your reason for cohabitation? We know that more couples live together because it's seen as a commitment step, and other couples live together because it makes financial sense. And we also know that most women around the ages of 30 or younger have said that they lived with their partner before marriage. And, you know, we all have our different reasons for doing it. So I didn't do it. Marinus and I lived apart for 3 years, and we only started living together after marriage, which is also very interesting. But tonight we're speaking about cohabitation. I'll be taking your calls on 086-000-959. You can SMS me on 36959. And also the hashtag on social media is Sidebar Cindy, and the other hashtag is Kaya FM Talk. What are your reasons for cohabitation? I'll be joined on the line by human rights lawyer Ngobizi Tamlilo, who'll be talking about the law and cohabitation. And this is so important. We need to understand what the laws are around cohabitation. So, yes, looking forward to the show. I'm looking forward to your calls. I'm already, looking at your comments. I'll be reading out your comments from Twitter as the show progresses. But I'd like to welcome my guest, Ngobizi Tamlilo, to the show. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining me on the show.
It's always a pleasure, and good evening to all the Kaya FM listeners.
So this evening, Mr. Ngobizi Tamlilo, as you've heard, we're speaking about cohabitation. And the reason why we've asked you to join me is because, you know, it's all well and good for people to live together, but it's also important for people to know the law around it. And and that's why you're here. So first of all, I know that the law protects cohabiting couples. So just talk to us about what it was before and how this law then came into place. And then, of course, we'll go deeper into what the law is.
Yeah, so the most important thing to understand is that cohabitation is not marriage, and that the consequences that naturally arise from a marriage don't arise from cohabitation. If you, for instance, for you to be regarded as a wife to someone, you need to satisfy the requirements of marriage, either in terms of a civil union or a customary union or a life partnership. So that's something that is extremely important for people to understand, that for you to be married, you need to choose one or of the different types of marriage. Then the consequences that naturally arise from marriage would follow. If you stay with someone as a cohabitation and you have not satisfied the requirements of marriage, you will not get the benefits, if I may use that term, that arise from a marriage. For instance, if one of the parties dies, they are not entitled to half the share of the estate because they are not married. That only arises in circumstances where there is a marriage. So this idea that if you stay with someone for 6 months, for a continuous 6 months, you're automatically regarded as a wife, that is not supported by law. For you to get the benefits that otherwise arise from marriage legally, you need to follow the requirements either of a civil union or a customary marriage or some form of marriage that is recognized by law.
Okay. So... that's not what I understood, because I'm so glad that you're here. So if you are living together and you've lived together for, say, 10 years and the other partner passes away and they haven't left a will saying that everything of theirs is now yours, that other person gets nothing. Is that what you, that's what you're saying in a nutshell?
If you're not married, yes. There could be other recourse that you could have in law, but it's a much more complicated process. It's something we call either in unjustified enrichment, or you can go to court to declare that type of union some form of a partnership, which therefore dissolved on the death of the other, and therefore the assets of that partnership would then be dissolved as if you're dissolving a partnership. But that's a very complicated process that requires a whole lot of issues to be done. The point that listeners must take home. And we have always, I've always emphasized this point every time I'm on the show or I'm on the Law Report, that this idea that because you have stayed with someone for 6 months, I don't know where that idea comes from. It is not supported by law. If you want the benefits that arise from a marriage, pick any of the marriages that are provided for in law, then the natural consequences that arise from a marriage would follow. Otherwise, you will not be entitled to those benefits, either the dissolution by death or in the event that you separate because of your own differences.
So I must tell you, before we go further, that in my mind, the 6 months cohabitation and then things fall into place and the law protects you, that is really what I came onto the show with in my mind, because that's what I'd read and heard. So you're saying that that is not true.
If you want to be married, then get married and get the consequences that follow from marriage. If you want to cohabitate, then cohabitate knowing fully well that you're not protected to the extent that you think you'll be protected. That's a very important aspect. I don't know where that idea comes from. Well, you say you've read it somewhere. I've never seen where that thing is. And I struggle to understand where people get that issue of 6 months, that you stay together for a period of 6 months and therefore you're regarded as married. I have no idea where that issue comes from.
Okay, well, this is eye-opening, and we're taking your calls on 086-000-00959, hashtag on social media as Sidebar Cindy, and the other hashtag is Kaya FM Talk. I'm chatting this evening about cohabitation, and I'm asking you the question, what are your reasons for cohabitation? Is it financial? Is it a commitment issue? We'd love to know why you are cohabiting, if you are, and if you have cohabited before, what is it like, and why did you stop? Taking your calls on 086-000-00959, and I'm chatting to human rights lawyer Unqobisi Tamlilo, who has just shattered my mind, because as I said, I was still under the impression that if you'd lived with someone for more than 6 months, then some form of law protected you in the event of you breaking up or in the event of your partner's passing away. Okay, so moving on to some definitions. Are there any legal rights, Mobizita, for unmarried couples living together? Anything at all?
Well, you could have rights. Remember, I did indicate that you could put a claim in terms of an unjustified enrichment. For instance, I was staying with you. You were worth 100,000. By the time we separated and we had irreconcilable differences, you were now worth R1 million. And I can show that the growth of your estate was as a result of my personal contributions to the growth of your estate, then I can claim what we call unjustified enrichment. That's the first thing. The second thing is I can then go to court and say, yes, I was not married to you in terms of any recognized union, either as a civil union, a marriage in terms of customary law, or a life partnership. But our relationship constituted a partnership. Hmm. A partnership is in the sense of a business, conceptualized in the form of a business. Now that we have separated, this separation constitutes the dissolution of that partnership. And therefore, the assets of that partnership must be dissolved in the same way you dissolve a partnership. But I must emphasize that that's a very complicated argument to make. It's a very difficult argument to make and sustain in court. So the best thing to do is, if you want the benefits that arise from a marriage, then get married. If you don't want to get married, then enter this knowing fully well that what the consequences of that regime would be. The point to take is that if you want the benefits of marriage, which arise from marriage, for instance, if you divorce, the estate is divided by half. Depending on the type of marriage you have a marriage in community of property with accrual, you have a marriage out of community of property without accrual, then you have a marriage in community of property. These three types of marriages have different consequences at marriage and have different consequences on the dissolution of that marriage. If you are not falling into any of these, there is no any other position recognized by law which entitles you to anything at the dissolution of that marriage, save for the examples I have given in unjustified enrichment or a dissolution of a partnership.
Okay, so we're taking calls on 086-000-00959. We have Umasekho on the line, and she's calling us from Johannesburg. Good evening, Umasekho, and welcome to the show.
Evening, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm good, thanks. I wanted to actually comment on your topic for tonight. I was actually cohabiting with somebody for 5 years.
Yes.
And it got so bad, so much so that it involves obviously money. You know, we used to borrow each other money. We lived together like a married couple.
Yes.
Now, unfortunately, due to circumstances, we had to part ways. And now, when it comes to me saying, look, Mutawatu, I borrowed you so much money, and now, I need you to pay me back my money. I was actually told, oh, no, look, we're not married. How are you going to claim back your money when we are not married? And I'll be honest, to cohabit is basically a waste of time. It's a waste of your time.
So, Masego, money gone, that was that.
He kept on saying, look, I'll pay you money in full, because even now we're both expecting a child together. And he's not supporting, he's not coming forth, but yeah, now he's got another child with somebody else that I was looking after. And it's bad. To cohabit, I don't want to lie, it's bad. At least going along, you know, I'm here for something that is solid. Cohabiting is just a waste of anybody's time, be it a male or a female, because you can't go home to his mom or his dad or his family and say, because they've got every right to say, but he didn't marry you.
But have you involved family, Masego? Have you?
We have, and look, once you become involved with somebody that is a breadwinner, they can only say so much, kohab.
Yeah.
You can really only say so much.
Okay, so I'm not going to let you go. I just want the lawyer that's with us on the show to just respond to what you've just shared with us. Umasego's story, is there anything that you could do to try and get her money back?
Yeah. So there are two things that arise from what she's saying. If you are not married and you advance money to each other, that constitutes an advancement of credit. And that money can be and should be payable back to the person that has lent the money. But obviously, if the other party denies that this money constituted a loan, you'll have a problem in terms of evidence, because in most instances, this money is just advanced on a verbal agreement. That money is not written down anyway. But ordinarily, as a point of departure, you're entitled to the return of the money that is advanced to the other outside the marriage as a loan. So ordinarily you would be able to do it. Obviously the issues of evidence become a different issue.
Yes.
The second issue to understand also is that the defense on the other side of the person that would have given money is that it might constitute a donation. So a donation is not payable back. So all he needs to say is, yes, I accept that I was advanced 1,000 rand, 2,000 rand, or whatever it is, but that constituted a donation within the confines of our relationship. Friends and people do donate and give each other money without the expectation that money will be paid back. So the point is, it is possible to recover money lent to the other outside the marriage as a credit or as a loan to the person, subject to the availability of evidence to back it up. Secondly, the defense on the other side would be that money, yes, was advanced to me, but it was advanced as a donation, and therefore there's no legal basis for paying it back.
Okay, so advice for anyone that might be considering cohabiting or is cohabiting is keep a logbook of monies exchanged.
But remember, the second issue is that the person will come back and say it was a loan, it was a donation, and the donation is not payable. Is not payable back. You need to, if you want to advance money as a credit, then you need to gather sufficient evidence to be able to back up that at the point at which I advanced X amount of money, the advancement of this money constituted an advancement of a loan which was payable on an agreed term.
Okay.
Otherwise, it will always constitute a donation. Or for that matter, it will always be a defense on the other party to say, yes, I received the money, but that money was a donation.
Okay. So, Masego, I hope that you can get your money back somehow, and all the best with the baby.
But look, before I hang up with
you
guys.
That's fine, yeah.
What I actually did was, for me, I had honestly kept on asking, when are you going to pay me back my money? And he would say, no, I have to go see and amend and. The prophet saying is that he can't then claim it, because I said to myself, let me just have something to show that I borrowed him, and that we both agree that I had borrowed him money. I didn't give him money, because he initially said to me, look, I'll pay you back your money in full. But till today, it has been like 4 or 5 weeks now, he's been saying I'll pay you back in full. But I kept that as evidence so that in future, should anything happen, I would ask, when I said to you, pay me back my money, you said you'll pay it back in like 24 hours or only 72 hours, but you haven't done that, so that he doesn't cry out and say it was some sort of donation.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Masego.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I'll ask Mubizita to comment a bit later on that. We'll be taking more calls, but before we take more calls, let's take a listen to this.
People cohabit, broadly speaking, in two groups. There are some for whom it is a stage on the way to marriage. They're actually thinking about the whole process. At some point, they know they're going to be married. But it happens to be convenient to start cohabiting beforehand. But there are others for whom cohabiting is either an accident, like somebody's lease is up, so it's temporary accommodation, yeah. Or, and this is more serious, it's a case where they're not actually committed and they are cohabiting in order to avoid the commitment. Although they're living together, it's a much more fragile relationship, and there's no real intent on at least one of them, one of the parties, to become a fully committed relationship.
Okay, so that was a clip from KTN News Kenya about cohabitation, and I must tell you that part about cohabitation being an accident. Wow, okay, we'll be talking more about that. Well, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Sidebar at Cindy with me, Cindy Fansale, on Kaya FM 95.9. We are speaking about cohabitation and asking you, what are your reasons or what were your reasons for cohabiting? I'm joined by human rights lawyer Nobizita Mlilo, and he's talking about the law and cohabitation. We have Jacob on the line, and he's calling us from Johannesburg. Good evening, Jacob. Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you.
All right. I wanted to find out with regards to if I had paid lobola to a person. Hello?
Yes, we're listening.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we're listening.
Yeah. Along the line, we stopped being involved. Right?
Yes.
Now, the issue is that in terms of law, is this person still entitled towards me?
Okay.
The lobola negotiations were not complete, and then what happened is that even like your ceremonies and all of that were not done.
Okay.
Am I legally still married to this person, or what is the situation?
Okay, so Ungobizita Mlilo is going to answer that question for you. So Jacob's question is around having paid lobola, and you know what happens now.
Yeah, so if you pay lobola, that is a marriage in terms of customary law. And a marriage in terms of customary law is a marriage celebrated in terms of the customs of the people concerned. In other words, if you are vendor, that marriage must be celebrated in terms of vendor culture. If you are Zulu, that marriage must be celebrated in terms of Zulu culture. If you are Ndebele, if you are Sotho, it must be celebrated in terms of the culture of the people concerned. And the definition therefore becomes, how do people of that particular ethnic group celebrate their marriage? What constitutes the conclusion of a marriage? And case law has developed to the extent that it suggests that in most instances there must be a handing over of the bride to the family, which signifies the completion of that marriage. So to the extent it is suggested that the process of marriage in terms of the custom of the caller was not completed, it suggests therefore that there is no marriage. If the processes were not followed, because that marriage, if it is celebrated in terms of customary law, it needs to follow all the necessary processes which are necessary in terms of that culture to constitute a marriage. But even if the processes are finished, even if all the customary processes are finished, it is necessary that people who are married in terms of customary law approach Home Affairs with the necessary documentation to back up that all the processes in terms of their culture were followed. Then they'll get a marriage certificate from the Minister of from the Department of Home Affairs. Because in the event that someone dies, one of the parties dies, and there is no marriage, there is no marriage certificate from Home Affairs, because Home Affairs, a marriage certificate is the only evidence of the existence of a marriage. So if one of the parties then passes on before you register your marriage, you have to then approach a court for condonation for the late registration of your marriage, and that's a process in itself. So the point again to take is that if you are one, they followed the process of lobola, and the processes in terms of your culture were not followed up to the end, then you are not married, notwithstanding that you are staying with this person. Secondly, even if the processes were followed in terms of your culture and there was a handing over and so forth and so forth, you need to take that process to its logical end by approaching the Department of Home Affairs and then registering your marriage and then obtaining a marriage certificate. From there, you now derive all the benefits that arise from a marriage.
Okay. And we are talking about cohabitation, and I'm asking you, what are your reasons for cohabitation? So if you're cohabiting currently, if you were, what are your reasons for it? Did you face any challenges? Are you facing any challenges? I'm also joined on the line by human rights lawyer Ngobisi Tamlilo, and you know, he's looking at the law and cohabitation. But yeah, we're taking your calls. I want to know, are people who are cohabiting more likely to get married? 086-00-00959. You can SMS us on 36959. And we have Jerry on the line. Good evening. And what are your reasons for cohabitation, Jerry?
Evening to you and your guest in studio.
Hi.
Yes, and the name is Gary, not Jerry.
Okay, Gary. Sorry about that.
My first comment, I just want to give heads up to your guest in studio, Mr. Ngobisi. Hello?
Yes, we're listening, Gary.
Yes, I want to give a heads up to him because each and every time he's on the radio, I'll even switch off my TV or leave everything because that's all, because he's got so much information to share, even when he's on the law report. I always listen to the show. So, Tommy, my comment today is I want to say that I use it as an indication whether this person you can live with or not when it comes to marriage, because some of the relationship, if you start living separately and at the time of marriage, you will not be, there will not be indications where that person, whether today he wakes up with this mood or a different mood, you will never know until you spend some time with that person. So I use that as an indication to say this person will be a right partner for me or not, because previously I was in a relationship with a certain lady.
Yes.
And all those things I only realized when I was living with her. You know, all the cheating, each and everything regarding her. When we were living separately, everything was fine. But the minute I was with her in the house, renting, that's where all the things I could see. This is the type of person she is, and this and that, and this and that. So I use it as an indication to see whether this person, is it a person that I can live with or not.
And Gary, how long did you live with her?
I think it was over a year.
Okay.
Just about a year. And then the other thing is, the other incident that I had is when we had to separate, I had a problem because now she said we must share everything. And remember when we got there, she was unemployed. I was the one that bought all the basic essentials, even took out loans regarding to buy a bed or buy a fridge or whatever it is the case may be.
Mm.
So the problem I had when I went to the cops, I said, no, please help me so that I can get all my stuff out of there, of the place. When we got there, they were sided with the lady. They said, no, I must go to a small claims court. How do I go to a small claims court? Whereas all the things that I've got were in my name, and I've got evidence in hand that this is the receipt, this is the loan that I took. So it was a difficult situation for me.
Okay, so Manglani, let me understand this. So you bought stuff for both of you when you're living together, but you bought the stuff in your name.
Yes, I bought the stuff in my name.
And then after breaking up, you wanted your stuff back.
Yes, I wanted to take all my stuff. But for her, she was refusing to give me all those stuff. And then when the cops came, they said, no, they can't help me. So I was in a difficult position. How can you guys say they can't help me? I must go to a small claims court. And regarding the law, it does not mean if you live with a person for 6 months or a year, then you automatically are married and you must share each and everything.
Okay, so did you get your stuff back?
No, I did. I only took the fridge and the bed because that was the only thing that I had the loans of, and I pushed to get them. But the rest, I just, you know what, for peace sake, she can have the rest of the thing that was there. But I can't be paying a loan for something and I don't have that.
Okay. No, thank you so much for sharing that.
All right.
Okay. So coming back to Ngobisi Tamlilo, who's a human rights lawyer, and he's my guest tonight on this topic of cohabitation. Again, it's the whole thing about the law, Ngobisi, as you've been pointing out.
Yeah. No, I maybe I must start by saying Kerry was making me blush from where I am. Here, so.
well, I'm happy to have you on the show.
So I must appreciate and appreciate his comment. So this is what happens now. So we are now talking about physical property that is within someone's name. And this person then says, this property is mine, but it is in a place that I cannot access. So the course of action that was available to Gary was not to go to the small claims court, but was to approach the magistrate court or the high court to get what is called a revindicatio order. A revindicatio order is an order in terms of which you seek the return of your physical property. So he could have approached the court to request that an order be granted, that he be given back his property. The only thing you need to prove is that you have ownership of that property. So if he's saying the property was registered in his name, he could have approached the court for that order, a revindicatio order.
Okay. So just coming back to social media, thank you for that, Mobizita. Coming back to social media, some of the comments on Twitter. So Twana says, running a household on your own as a woman is just sometimes so hard. Changing globes, weird sounds at night, and making sure the car and the million other things are sorted out is a lot. It just makes sense sharing your life with someone you love. And then we have Ms. Tekero, who says that, Dr. Cindy, my friend has been seeing this guy that's cohabiting for years. So this guy takes her to the home he shares with the main. The main saw the side and now is threatening to sue my friend, but they're not married. He only paid lobola. Can the sides be sued? So, you know, that's a question for you, Mobizita. That's the situation. She's been seeing this. She's been cohabiting with this guy for years. And then this guy's main person finds out. And now she wants to sue her. Is that possible?
It used to be possible until a decision of the South Gauteng High Court of recent, in the High Court here in Johannesburg, basically said that you eliminated that cause of action. It was a cause of action that was basically called loss of affection, that you cause someone to lose affection and therefore you become responsible for it. It appears that judgment has not been overturned on appeal and that judgment remains law, that cause of action is no longer available.
Okay, so it's called loss. It was called loss of affection. Yeah, so you could sue someone for that.
Yes, you could sue someone for causing you to lose affection. Exactly the fact that you have indicated that this person gets involved with someone who's married, and then they take you to court, and then they claim that you are responsible for the loss of affection, and they claim for damages.
Okay. Well, coming back to social media, some other comments. I have an anonymous comment, and this person says that, you know, cohabiting saves money. Umjolo costs a lot, especially when you both live far away from each other. The miscellaneous things to sustain the relationship are too much, so cohabitation is the best deal while you work on settling down. And, of course, this now brings me to the question, does cohabitation necessarily lead to marriage? And that's the question that I'm asking the listeners on 086-000-959. And you can SMS us on 36959. And so, Ms. Amilo, coming back to the law, joint accounts. So say you're living together and you now decide to open a joint account. You put money into this account. You're saving for a car or you're saving for a house. In the event that you part ways, what would happen there?
Yeah, that's a very good example because it assists me to explain what I was referring to in terms of unjustified enrichment, in terms of dissolution of a de facto or factual a partnership. Now you are not married, so the consequences that arise from a dissolution of a marriage don't exist, but you have a joint account. So that constitutes a partnership. Now, when you want to dissolve that partnership, whatever money is in the bank is then dissolved in terms of that partnership, as if you are dissolving a partnership. So you, either of you has recourse to the money that is in the bank account, in the joint account, which money has to be dispersed as if you are dissolving a partnership. If one party exhausts the money in the bank account without the consent of the other, that in fact constitutes theft, and therefore it is actionable in law. So I don't think there is much of a worry if you have a joint account, but you must just know that at the time at which you want to dissolve your relationship or your relationship goes south, then the dissolution or the sharing of that money in the joint account would have to be shared as if you are dissolving a partnership.
Okay. So thank you for that explanation. We have another clip to play for you.
I guess it's a test run for marriage, and a lot of people who are serious with each other do not mind sharing the domicile, the residence, and when they do that, they're already showing commitment to each other. Usually, you know, the lady moves in the African setting, and when she does, she's already feeling accepted by the man. Yeah, that would be in the nominal circumstance. But in the urban setting, mostly cohabitate arrangements are for convenience. In fact, there are guys who do it for economic ease.
that they're together and they share the bills and everything goes along. But we're in love, which is not a bad thing. If it could go on like that for the rest of life, fine. The only thing is that they do it out of, you know, tentative fear of a final commitment. Because once you do parental visitation, once you do the you know, the ceremonies, then you're stuck. Yeah. The beauty with cohabitant arrangement is that you can always opt out.
So that was a clip that we heard from KTN News in Kenya, and that was that person's comments on cohabitation. So taking calls on 086-000-959. Are you currently cohabiting? Have you cohabited? And if you have or you are, what are your reasons for it? Challenges? Are you facing challenges? Have you faced challenges? I'd like to know. 086-000-959. And if you've just joined us, I'm chatting to Ngobisi Tamlilo, a human rights lawyer, who's really breaking down the law and cohabitation in a very great way. So if you've missed the show thus far, not to worry. You can catch the podcasts on KFM, on FM Rewind at kfm.co.za. Click on Sidebar Cindy and all the podcasts will show up. So we're still taking calls. 086-000-959. So Ngobisi, I think some of the comments that are coming through on social media speak about, you know, cohabitation being a trial run. And I think one of the callers, Ukeri, alluded to that. You know, what are your thoughts, your personal thoughts around? Let's leave the law for a while. Just your thoughts on the trial run issue.
I'm not sure if I can cease to be a lawyer in this system. I'll tell you offline.
Okay, cool. Okay, we'll take calls. We have Tabang on the line.
Okay. Yeah, but I think that, look, I mean, people do this thing for different reasons, but I would really, really, really caution against doing this unless people are very explicit and are fully aware of the consequences of what they are doing. I think we've tried to break it down to say this is what it means. Again, it does not matter for how long you stay together. In fact, you might have 10 children together. As long as there's no marriage certificate, you don't benefit from the results that would otherwise come from a dissolution of a marriage, either by death or by process that the two of you are no longer together. So someone then dies and your four children down the line, and then you say this person had a provident fund or there's money that is sitting in an investment somewhere. You're not entitled to that money because you're not married to this person. And the, your children, because they're the direct descendants of the deceased, may benefit from that estate, subject to them not being excluded by the deceased. But in the ordinary course, absent the existence of a valid marriage, there is no benefit that arises to the other party in the event either of a dissolution of that marriage by virtue of death or dissolution because the parties have just decided they don't want each other. Listeners must just forget this 6 month thing. I have no idea where it comes from. I have no idea how it started. That thing is not true.
Okay. Thank you, Ngobisi Tamlilo, human rights lawyer, chatting about law and cohabitation. Taking calls 086-000-959. Tabang, welcome to Sidebar Cindy.
Evening, everybody. Listen, I just want to clarify something with the human rights lawyer. There was recently a court case in the Johannesburg High Court. A lady sued their partner for, emotional damages and breach of promise. Apparently, the guy had, during their stay or relationship, had promised to marry the woman, and then also they went out and looked for rings, and during the course of the time, he decided not to go through with it. I wonder if the guy is aware of this case. She actually won the case. And what's the breakdown in the whole thing? That means if I'm cohabiting and then I do promise, to marry, would I also then be sued for waste of time or something along those lines?
Okay, thank you, Tabang. Ngobisi Tamlilo?
Yeah, that case in the South Gauteng High Court, as far as I can remember, was taken on appeal. The breach of promise to marry is a very long and it has a long history of its origin. And I remember reading that judgment to the extent that it was being argued that the bonnie mores, what we call the societal mores of today, are not necessarily the same as the community mores that were morals that were there at the time at which that principle of breach of promise to marry was. I'm aware that matter was taken on appeal, and as far as I remember, the decision of the High Court was overturned on appeal. I'm subject to correction, but I remember that decision was taken on appeal.
Okay, thank you so much for that. Tabang?
Yeah, well,
okay, so you got that.
Yes, thank you. So yeah, it makes it easier, you know. Yeah, sure.
Hey, boy, and that little laugh at the end?
Yeah, so because, I mean, if you do change your mind, then you won't be sued for R500,000 for, you know, wasting someone's time or breach of promise, you understand?
Well, I hope that doesn't encourage you to go and waste someone's time, hey? No, like, no, really. No, seriously, how would you feel if that happened to you? Anyway, thank you.
Well, you know, life goes on. You start again.
Utabang. Anyway, thank you so much for calling. 086-00-00-959. Sidebar Cindy with me, Cindy Siwe Fansale. And this evening, we're talking about cohabitation. And the question I'm asking you is, what are your reasons for cohabiting? Has it been challenging? You know, are you facing challenges? Has it been easy for you? I know a lot of people on social media are commenting that it's a trial run for marriage. Some people are saying that this makes more financial sense. Humanly Awkward was saying that rents are high and salaries are not. So it's much easier to share a household with someone and save money. So what are your reasons for cohabitation? 086-00-00-959. I'm chatting to Ngobisi Tamlilo, human rights lawyer, and he's breaking down the law and cohabitation for us. We have Deboho calling us from Johannesburg. Hi, Deboho.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. What are your reasons for cohabiting?
Well, actually, for me, it's not, I don't want to respond to that, but I have a question to Ngobisi with regards to domestic partnership. So what happened is that I was cohabiting with my ex and we bought a property together. And after we decided to dissolve the relationship, then he moved out. I continued paying the bond. But then after 2 years or so, I was literally begging him to sell the property and he was refusing, yet he was not making any contributions. And I must say, I'm very aggrieved because after 10 years of trying to reason with him, he eventually agreed, but I had to pay him 50%, even though he did not make any contributions. So I don't know, can I claim unjustified enrichment in this regard?
Mobizita?
Yeah. I wish you had not paid him because I think there was no basis for payment. This is the point I'm making. Whatever happens in terms of your joint financial investments or financial accounts or whatever, has nothing to do with the fact that you are in a relationship, because no consequence arises from that relationship, because it's just a cohabitation. It has no validity in law. It arises nothing in law. So everything that happens, it has nothing to do with the fact that you are in a relationship. Now you buy a property and you buy it together. That constitutes a partnership. Don't call it a domestic partnership, because it will take you into a very different realm and begin to confuse you. It's a partnership. And then the dissolution, and partners are expected to contribute proportionate to their share of the partnership. In other words, if you are buying this property together and you have 50% share in the property and a 50% share in the property, you are expected to pay 5,000 rand for the bond. I pay 5,000 rand for the bond, and therefore the partnership is paying. Now, if one party does not pay, then and the other continues to pay. In other words, this person that is supposed to contribute their 5,000 does not do so. And in her case, she continues to pay. It constitutes a loan advancement to the other partner, because you are acting in the best interest of the partnership. So at the time at which you now want to sell the property, you must recover the money that you lent to the partner first, together with your consequential loss. And then if there's anything at all that is then left from there, firstly, you recover the loan advance to the partner, you sell the property, you recover the money that you advance to the partner, because you continue to pay this bond alone. So this other 5,000 you're paying every month constituted a loan to the other partnership. So if there's anything to be shared, it is to be shared after you have recovered both the money that you would have paid and the consequential loss. So in her circumstance, there was no basis for her to pay this 60% to him, because he had not contributed to the payment of this partnership over the past 30 years. If anything, he owed her.
Okay, thank you so much for that. You're listening to me chatting to Ngobisi Tamlilo, human rights lawyer. And this evening we're talking about the law and cohabitation. And I'm asking you, what are your reasons for cohabiting? Was it for finances? Was it for love? Why? Why are you cohabiting? And have you faced any challenges? We have Zotwa on the line. Zotwa, thank you for holding and welcome to the show.
Good evening, Cindy. Thank you for letting me in. I'm not cohabiting currently. But I've been with my partner for about 3 years now. We share businesses together. Then he's finally paying Lobola. He's not from South Africa. So the final thing is going to be done at his home country, to going to be handed over. So the marriage will be registered there. I just wanted to know, we come back and register the marriage again here in Home Affairs so that it's recognized again here in South Africa, because we've got businesses both in and out of South Africa.
What is it, huh?
I lost her a little bit. She said that they're going to get married outside the country.
Yes, they are.
Sorry?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. No. So if they are married in that country, there is no need for them to come get married again here in South Africa, because that marriage is still valid, is still recognized in South Africa. So in the event of a dissolution of that marriage for whatever reason, either by divorce or by death, the laws of that country will be applicable. Let me rephrase this. So it is not necessary for them to re-register the marriage in South Africa if they get married in any other country. If they want to dissolve the marriage will be dissolved in terms of the laws of the domicile of the husband at the time of marriage. So if he's domiciled in South Africa, then the marriage would be dissolved in terms of the domicile of the husband at the time at which they were married. But the point, so the issue is that it is not necessary for them to register the marriage in South Africa at the time at which the marriage is dissolved, for whatever reason, either by death or by divorce. It would be regulated in terms of the laws of the domicile of the husband at the time of the marriage.
Okay, and their business interests?
Their business interests are a separate estate altogether. So the business interests, their respective shares in the business interests are only insofar as their shareholding is concerned. So if they own a plastic making company and they own 50% shareholding in each, that's a separate entity altogether to their marriage. But in their joint estate, if the marriage is going to be dissolved for whatever reason, you are going to count their earnings or their shareholding in those entities, those businesses, to form part of the joint estate individually. But the businesses constitute a very different entity altogether. Okay. That is not, on the face of it, immediately reconcilable with the marriage.
Okay. So I'm asking you, what are your reasons for cohabitation? Tell us your story, 086-000-959. You can SMS us on 36959. And the hashtags tonight are Sidebar Cindy and KFM Talk. I'm still talking to Nomzi Tamlilo, human rights lawyer, who's really been breaking this down nicely for us. And the one thing I must tell you, the one thing that shocked me at the beginning of the show, was that the 6 months living together, then you're protected by the law that we all believed. Okay, I won't say all, I believed, is not true. So he's made that crystal clear that there's no such thing, and we were mistaken. So that's the one thing I've learned from tonight's show. Mobisita, just coming back to the issue of the 6 months, where would it have come from? Is there anything in the law that has 6 months in it? Because it can't have come from the air. It must have come from somewhere.
No, it's like this thing when people say, no, we went to the police station and we signed an affidavit because this person owes me money, then we signed an affidavit and what, or we're selling a car, we went to the police station and signed an affidavit. Those things, I don't know where they come from. Maybe they arise from people just talking, and at some point it assumes the mystery of truth. But there's no such thing. If you're advancing money to each other, sign an agreement of an acknowledgement of debt. This thing of affidavits, people going to police stations, I don't know where I came. It's one of those things that just arise from nowhere. It's the same thing as this one of saying if you stay together for 6 months. I have no idea where it comes from. Maybe it's one of those legend stories.
Well, someone on Twitter, Usbusiso, backs me up. Usbusiso says, evening, doctor, you're not hallucinating about the 6 months cohabitation issue. I remembered it exactly the way you explained it to Nobizita. It was during the Tabombeki era. But thank you to Nobizita for clearing it up so eloquently. I guess we read the law incorrectly.
Yeah, no. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. No, there's no such thing.
Okay.
So and every time I've ever been on this show or on Kaya FM, we've tried to drill that there is absolutely no such thing. If you want the benefits of marriage, go to Home Affairs and do the right thing. If you want to cohabitate, then cohabitate knowing fully well the consequences of what you are doing. And if you intend, if you see that there's a possibility that you're going to go separate ways, then start thinking properly about an unjustified enrichment claim or a dissolution of a partnership. Unjustified enrichment is basically to say that you have been enriched at my expense. That's really what it means in simple terms.
Okay, I'm learning so much. I'm taking notes because I need to remember all of these things that you've been sharing with us. But if you've just started listening to the show and you've missed most of it, you can listen to the podcast. You can go to FM Rewind, click on Sidebar Cindy, and the podcasts are uploaded there for you to catch the show. We have another caller on 086-00-00959. We have Dinky calling us. Good evening, Dinky.
Yes, good evening, Dr. Cindy. So I have two questions, né, regarding the legal status of cohabitation. The first one is, I'd like the lawyer there to tell us common law marriage. To what extent does cohabitation constitute a common law marriage? Né? And then secondly, in terms of the Pension Funds Act, doesn't a cohabitee have a right to claim as a dependent from the estate, even though they were not married, but they could have a share, just as the children of the deceased? So those are the two questions that are listening on the radio.
Obizita?
Those are two brilliant questions. You must buy a bell. So there is no such thing. There is no such thing as a common law marriage. A marriage is either a marriage in terms of the marriage act, a civil marriage, a life partnership, or a marriage in terms of customary law. Those are the provisions that govern the issue of marriage in South Africa. It is governed by the Marriage Act, by the Customary Marriage Act, and the life partnership. Anything else that is not done in terms of these statutes that I'm referring to is not a marriage. Then coming to the second issue, which is a brilliant question around the issue of the Provident Fund. Now, that is a different question in the sense that if you, in terms of the distribution of pension funds, a person nominates to say, when I die, I want my pension to be paid to so and so and so. Now, the trustees of the fund will have to look for what are called factual and legal dependents on top of those that the deceased would have nominated. In other words, if my father nominates me as a beneficiary of that fund, the trustees of the fund, when it is now time to pay, will say, we can see that on the nomination form, my visitor is mentioned. But in our investigation, we have also found out that he was looking after this guy, this lady, and so and so and so and so. He was looking after his sister's children. He was also looking after his brother's children. Those are called factual dependents. And the trustees, at their discretion, may elect to say part of that provident fund must be paid to those people. So the provident fund pays on two bases. That there must be a legal reason for paying it. In other words, these are the heirs of the deceased. Or they were factually dependent on the deceased when the deceased was alive.
Okay, thank you for that, Mobizita. Thabo, what were your reasons for cohabitation?
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm fine, man. I'm not sure where I am at the present moment. Let me just put it this way. 5 years ago, we made a decision that we're going to stay together. I paid Lobola. We've been staying together for the past 5 years. We bought the property. Now, we want to sell the property. However, we incurred a lot of debt in between. Now, my partner, she moves away from the house. We're owing the bond, which is the bond is coming from her account because of she's got the discount from, she's working from the bank. So she's got the discount from the bank. Now, I'm literally, actually, because of the bond is coming from account, responsible to pay the account only. I was paying everything, like school fees for children, giving it transport. I took loan for us to extend the property. I took credit cards. Now I'm in debt. Because of that, the relationship is no longer, we're no longer happy. Let me just put it this way. Because of financial difficulties. Now we want, she move out, she want us to sell a property. Now I don't have a problem with that. But however, my challenge is, I've got 2 months. Actually, I'm indebted as we speak.
Mm.
Now, what should I do?
Okay. Okay, thanks, Tabo.
Because my thinking, yeah. Because my thinking is, I don't know if I'm right. If we sell the property, we need to put all the debts that we've been incurring for all this for the past 5 years, and then we pay all the debts, and then whatever change we left with, we can share. I don't know.
Okay, thank you, Tabo. You're the last caller for the night. I'll ask my visitor to respond to your query.
You know, again, if you are not married and you incur a debt, that debt is yours.
Okay.
So they are not married. So if the property is registered in the name, then that debt is their debt, and whatever debts are his are his debts. So that's the position. Again, it takes us back to say you can come back and say you put me in this position and so forth, therefore you must contribute. But that's a different process and it's a difficult process altogether. But the point is that if you are not married, whatever debt you are carrying in your name is yours at the time at which your relationship starts going south.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Kobiti Tamlilo. It was great having you on the show. I think the whole night when I'm sleeping, I'm going to remember your words. If you want the benefits of a married couple, then get married.
Exactly.
Great having you on the show. Thank you so much.
Sidebar with Cindy.
Every Monday to Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more.